Oh, Christian friends, stop, stop, stop. It's time for us to stop saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. God wants you to start saying, yes, I can. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. What happens when I'm all in for Jesus? Asked Pastor Brian Grant in the message we will hear this evening. What does living in the Spirit look like in the life of the believer? How does living in the Spirit make a believer different from what he or she was before? These are questions Pastor Grant will seek to answer from Scripture in this, his first message in a series he will be presenting on the Holy Spirit. This evening, time will permit airing only the first part of this message, so we invite you to plan to be with us again next week to hear the conclusion of this message. Of course, you have the option of seeing the video in its entirety on our church website, www.gcafamilychurch.org. Once again, that's www.gcafamilychurch.org. If you have your Bibles, please turn with us to Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 14 and listen as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message entitled, Living in the Spirit. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A family from a remote area made their first visit to the big city. And they checked into a fabulous hotel, and they were just blown away by the lobby. It was so impressive. And then they saw an elevator. They'd never seen an elevator before, and they just stood in front of the elevator watching it, wondering, I wonder what does this do? It was so nice and shiny, and as they stood in front of this shiny elevator, an old lady hobbled up to the elevator, and she went onto the elevator because the doors opened. The doors closed behind her. A minute later, the doors reopened, and a stunning young woman stepped off the elevator. The father was so blown away. He could not believe that this machine had transformed this old lady so amazingly. He said to his son, "Son, go get your mother." It's interesting he didn't step in and get transformation. Isn't it funny how sometimes we always want somebody else to get transformed? And that's what happens also in the things of the Lord. God wants to transform us, but sometimes when we come to church and we hear about God wanting to transform us, we wish somebody else was here. But you're here this morning, and so God actually wants to speak to you as he wants to speak to me, because he wants us to know he can transform us. He can transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so today I want to speak to you about living in the Spirit. And to live in the Spirit, we must be all in for Jesus. Are you with me? We gotta be all in. Let me ask you, are you all in? Sometimes if we're not careful, we're not really all in. We're partially in. But God wants to ask us this morning, because if you and I are to live in the Spirit, we have got to be all in for Jesus. Let's look at four or five things that happen when I am all in for Jesus. What happens when I'm all in for Jesus? Number one, when I'm all in for Jesus, the Spirit of Christ lives in me. Look with me at Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. To be all in for Jesus, you must first be saved, meaning You must be saved, and if you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in everyone who is saved. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, and Pentecost is critical, for it marked a dramatic change in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the Old Testament, the ministry of the Holy Spirit was selective and temporary. You might not realize this, but in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon selected people. The Spirit of God didn't come on everyone in the Old Testament. He came on selected people. And as you read the Old Testament, you find, for example, the Spirit of God came on Saul. He came upon Gideon. He came upon others. But then, for example, it tells you the Spirit of God left Saul. You see, what we find out in the Old Testament is that the Spirit of God would come upon someone, but after their assigned mission was complete, the Holy Spirit would leave them. The Spirit's in the operation in the Old Testament was selective and temporary, but Jesus predicted there was going to be a change. And John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Amen. In John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse number 16, "He will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Stop there. Whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God only comes to those who know Jesus. Amen. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I say, thank God for the Spirit's presence. And so since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's ministry is no longer selective and temporary. Since Pentecost, the Holy Spirit permanently indwells every believer. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, the Spirit of God, young person, you may say, "Oh, I'm only 7 years old." One, no matter how old you are, you could be 6 years old. The minute you invited Jesus Christ to be your Savior, God, the Holy Spirit, came to take his residence in you. That sounds so difficult. It's so difficult for some people to grasp the concept that God lives in them. A little girl said to her mother, "You say, Mom, I know that Jesus lives in my heart, but how do I tell Jesus that I love him?" She says, "Do you think if I wrote on a piece of paper, 'I love you, Jesus,' and I ate that piece of paper, do you think Jesus would get to know that I love him?" You don't have to eat anything. The minute, whether you understand it, you see, some of these things are beyond comprehension, that God could live in me. And I'm here to tell you, older person, younger person, if you are a child of God, the Spirit of God lives in you. It's not a force. Sometimes I ask questions at some of our Bible studies, and I said, "Is the Holy Spirit a person or a force?" And everybody says, or a significant number will tell me, that the Holy Spirit is a force. He is not a force. He is a person. God himself, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a person, and he comes to live in me. Why do we have such a hard time understanding that the Spirit of God is God? Why is it because we use the term spirit, but doesn't the Bible say that God the Father is a spirit? God is a spirit, and they that worship him, what? Must worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen, God is a spirit, and the incredible thing that happens, the minute I said yes to Jesus, God came to take his abode in me. Isn't that exciting? But second, if I'm going to be all in for Jesus, not only must the Spirit of Christ live in me, but I must utilize the Spirit's power in my life. When I'm all in for Jesus, I am definitely utilizing the Spirit's power. Look with me at Romans 8, verse number 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. I don't want you to miss what the Word of God is telling us there. It is telling us that the Spirit of God who lives in you is the same Spirit who did what? Raised the Christ from the dead. Every believer, stay with me, every believer is endued with incredible power. I sometimes run into Christians and they seem so powerless. They seem so defeated. They seem like they're just barely hanging on. It's hard to believe that they have the incredible power of God living inside. And this morning, God wants you to know that you don't have to stay defeated. You don't have to stay in the rut. You don't have to say, I can't. You don't have to, young man, teenager. You don't have to say, I cannot live a victorious life, because God, the Spirit of God, the awesome, powerful Spirit of God is living in you, and He wants to release His power through you. Here's a key verse, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. I've come to this verse several times, and I hope by now somebody has memorized it. Because here's what it says, to him who is able to do, read it with me. To him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. According to what? The power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Don't miss that. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above. Oh, come on now. If it only said if he's able to do what we ask or think, that would be hallelujah ground. Can you imagine that? If the verse said that God is able to do exceed, forget about the exceeding. That he's able to do what you're asking or thinking. That's hallelujah enough. But it doesn't say he's able to do what you ask or think. It says he's able to do above what you ask or think. That's shouting territory. It doesn't say that either. It says he's able to do abundantly above all you ask or think. You can't shout hallelujah yet? But it doesn't say that. It says he's able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or think.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Oh, Christian friends, stop! Stop, stop. It's time for us to stop saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. God wants you to start saying, yes, I can. Yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's saying, listen, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. How? How is he able to do it? How is he able to do it? According to what? The power that is at work in us. You see, this business about the Holy Spirit, sometimes we make it so trite, so theological. Let's get rid of this theological concept. Theology is key. But what I'm trying to say, sometimes we just make it some little thing for a Bible study. The Spirit of God lives in me. So what? Because the Spirit of God lives in me, I am endued with supernatural power. And God is able to do. What is it that you desire from God? He wants you to know He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or think. I thank God that we are endued by His Spirit. So you say, how do I utilize this Spirit, the Spirit's power? Well, pay attention, stay awake. The next 3 points are critical. If we're going to utilize the Spirit's power, the next 3 points are critical. So stay awake, make your notes, and go home and read your notes, and make a decision today. God, I want to be all in for Jesus. Because if you ain't all in, this message is just going to be theoretical. The Spirit's power becomes operational when I'm all in. No reserves, no regrets. God, I'm all in for you. And that's what God is asking. Yes, you are saved, but there are a lot of saved people here this morning who are not all in. You've been coming to church here for a long time. You know the Bible, you know all this theology. It's time to get all in. Because when that happens, my help cometh from the Lord. Point number 3. When I'm all in for Jesus, my mind is set on the things of the Spirit. You won't fully utilize the Spirit's power until your mind is set on the things of the Spirit. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Notice 3 key words: set their mind. The verse says the ungodly have set their mind. The ungodly have set their mind on the things of the flesh. And the verse is saying Christians need to set their mind also. And I need to ask you, as the Spirit of God prompts me, I need to ask you, is your mind set on the things of the Spirit? Because too often we have Christians whose mind is not set on the things of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, do you want to live in the Spirit? Do you want to understand and experience the power of the Spirit? He's saying, listen, part of the requirement is that our mind is set on the things of the Spirit. And we need to realize, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you're thinking, your mindset, is an indicator of your spiritual condition. Don't tell me you are a spiritual person when your mind is on the things of the flesh. Being spiritually minded pays incredible dividends. Brother Tony Hart last week, he said, one of the biggest challenges the Christian missions is Christian parents. You remember he said that? Because sometimes we parents, our goals for our children is totally about things of the world. We have not released them. We have not said to them, if God calls you to serve Him, go right ahead. We make them believe being whatever is the greatest thing that they could be. No, 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 no. The greatest thing they could be is in the center of the will of God. Amen. Experiencing the power of God and demonstrating the power of God in their life. And that won't happen unless their mind is set on the things of the Spirit. So what are some of the things? The verse gives you 2 quick ones here. It says, number 1, those who are spiritually minded enjoy abundant life. Verse number 6 says, for the carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life. John's Gospel chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Abundant life is not quantity. You know, when I was a teenager, I used to think abundant life means I got plenty life. I'm going to live long. I'm going to live long in heaven. Abundant life is not just about living long in heaven. Abundant life is a quality life. It's all about a quality of experience right here. This is life to the full, life with purpose, life with meaning, life with satisfaction and joy. Do you have that type of life? Those whose minds are set on the Spirit enjoy abundant life. But secondly, those whose minds are set on the Spirit enjoy peace. Not only peace with God, thank God, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Not only peace of God, but the peace of God. What is peace? Peace is a state of tranquility or quietness of spirit that transcends circumstances. That person whose mind is set on God is not always being blown about by every problem. Are you with me? When your mind is set on the Spirit, you're able to cope in the storms of life. And there's no one in the right, this one song says, will your anchor hold in the storms of life? Storms will come, but when your mind is set on the things of the Spirit, listen, that type of mind gives you peace in the midst of life's storms. So how do I develop a spiritual mindset? You need not worry. I'm not going to go through all the notes today. In case some of you wonder, you say, wow, how is he going to cover all of this? I'm going to stop somewhere along the line. I hope you don't mind. I like when you come to church, you can leave, that you learned something. That you can go home and you can look and you can say, here is what God is saying to me and here are some changes I need to make. And one of the things we need to ask ourselves is, how do we develop this spiritual mindset? Can I give you three thoughts I have? Number one, we need to fill our minds with the Spirit's words. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Bible, am I? We need to fill our mind with the Spirit's words. Can I suggest you start by getting a good Bible? Oh, come on now. Young people, I'm not coming down hard on you because you notice I'm one of the pastors that actually will pull out my cell phone from time to time. But young people, it's time to realize you're not going to have your mind set on the Spirit if the only Bible you got is a cell phone. I want to make sure every person who in this church says you're a Christian, that you own a real Bible with pages. Oh, I don't mind if you have it on the internet, but I honestly believe that it actually does you more good than you realize. And you go and you make your little markings and your little check mark here. And sometime later on, you know, you're just going through the Bible and you see that little check mark. And the Spirit of God reminds you of that victory you had while you underlined that thing the last time. It's an amazing thing. I preached a message here a few weeks ago. And I had a totally different message by the time I was finished. I was actually preparing the message. I was almost finished the message. And I'm on this side of the page. And the Spirit of God put my eye on that side of the page. And do you know, all those hours of work went through the door because that was not the message. This side of the page was where the message was. And sometimes one of the benefits of having a real Bible is that the Spirit of God totally redirects you from where you thought you were supposed to be reading. And the next thing you know, he has you over here. I am going to ask all of you, do yourself a favor, get yourself a Bible, and I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. Get yourself a Bible in a language you can understand. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you. and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.